Oh, my prayer for you this morning is you get half as much out of the message as I've gotten out of it this week. God has blessed me in His Word. Would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at those first five verses of 1 John. What's your name? I'd like to hear it this morning, and I really do. I want everybody to say your name. When I count to three, I'm just gonna say, "What's your name?" 1, 2, 3, and I want you to say your name out loud because God is gonna hear it. God is gonna decipher it, and it's gonna be important for later. 1, 2, 3. What's your name? Amen. I love a bold name. I love a bold name. What's in a name? What is in a name? Did you know that there is a phrase that comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, and it says, it is better to have a good name than riches. Do you have a good name? I pray that in Christ you trust that He is making you a good name. God's people are identified by many different designations in Scripture too, and there is something in those names. Did you know that God's people are called many things? They're called believers. We are called believers. Christians, we know that one means like Christ or little forms of Christ. Children of God, the elect, the chosen. Boy, those are lofty names. Amen. I like those. How about this one? Sons of the day, sons of the kingdom, sons of Abraham, friends of Christ, saints, brethren, disciples, servants of God, children of God, children of light, children of promise, lights of the world. Did you know that you are called by God's word a light of the world? We know that Christ Jesus is the light, but we are to be His lights. Ambassadors, soldiers, witnesses, stewards, and some of them are a little odd, aren't they? We're called sheep, and that sounds so soft and warm, but you know how dumb sheep are. They need a shepherd. Amen. Living stones, aliens, strangers. And each one of these names reveals something of our character and also something of the blessings that are going to be coming to us, but also some of the privileges of all believers in Jesus Christ. But John, here in this brief passage, shares yet another title in today's scripture, and he calls us overcomers. According to God's holy word, we are overcomers. And we're going to talk about what that means. Believers in Christ are victors, winners, conquerors. Stand with me in honor of reading God's word. Overcomers, children of God. Let's go through the whole name again. Children of God. Scripture tells us here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and following, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begot also loves Him, who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Stop. What? Do you love the Lord God? Do you love Jesus? Are you His child? Go back and reread this verse with me. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This, my friends, is the Word of God. Will you put it in your heart bank? Father, bless it as we've read it. And now, Father, would you bring it to fruit in our hearts as we digest it? In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Let's look at that word, overcomers. Overcomers. Now, this is a neat word because the verb form in the Greek, overcomer, is the word nikeo or nikeo. It appears twice in verse 4, it appears once in verse 5, and it literally means to conquer. It literally means to gain victory. It means to defeat your foe. And God says, you are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You are to nikeo. The Greeks even had a goddess named after this word. What was her name? Swoosh Nike. You've heard the name. You've seen it in the sports. Now understand where it comes from. Even Jesus used the word nikeo to speak of his victory over Satan. Go back and look in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, particularly in verse 33. Jesus spoke about his victory in overcoming nikeo, the world of Satan. And Christ's victory, listen to me, Christ's victory, Jesus Christ's victory, forms the foundation for your victory. Amen? If he had not won, you could not win. But because he has won, you have already won. We sang about it in several songs this morning. Paul references this victory several times. Once in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where he says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He said we are what kind of conquerors? More than conquerors. We're going to come back to that. And then he says it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. He says, and thanks be to God who gives us the victory, nikeo, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to hear something really cool? No? Okay, I'll move on to the next one. You want to hear something really cool? That phrase, more than conquerors, translates from an intensified compound form of the word nikeo. It literally says in the Greek, hooper nikeo. What does that sound like? Super nikeo. Literally, you know what it means? Super victory. Not just winners, but more than conquerors. He says you get a super victory, indicating a totally complete, a totally absolute victory in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, believers are super victors. Folks, we are unconquerable, he says. So that from Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, he says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. I repeated myself, didn't I? That's all right. Maybe you just needed to hear it again. You want me to do it again? Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Super victory. Hooper nikeo. Folks, listen, if that word doesn't begin to stir something in you, you're asleep or dead. He says we get a super victory. Now look what it says about the victory. Believers are hooper nikeo, overcomers of Satan. Satan, your enemy. Satan, the one who buffets you. Satan, who brings you the hardships and the difficulties spiritually. The one who would take you down to hell with him. You have super victory. Hooper nikeo over him. And all God's people said, woo! Don't I have some good Aggies in here that can give me a whoop or something? Folks, listen, God's word says we are super victors over Satan. We just studied just a few weeks ago in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, where John said that spiritual young men overcome the devil. Amen? Spiritual young men overcome the devil. How? Through the power of the word of God. That's how they overcome spiritual battles. That's how they do it. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it records that the tribulation saints, those who are going to be here during the tribulation, overcome, and this is a quote, overcome Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. How in the world could someone overcome like that? It is because of their faith in Christ. And not only have believers overcome Satan, we've overcome the hordes of minions that he sicks on us in this world, those demons who are his servants. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 told us about that. Let me just quote to you from verse 4 of that. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world." That is important, the world. We're not talking about the created orb where we reside. We're talking about the world, which is Satan's minions and Satan's place. You know, although Satan really is truly a dangerous foe, and he is, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that he's roaming around seeking somebody to eat up. He tells us here that he is a dangerous foe, but even though he is a dangerous foe, he is already defeated. Boy, those songs we sang this morning will preach. Amen. He is defeated. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "To resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Our problem is we don't resist enough. Amen? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your foot. Whose foot? Don't say your. Whose foot? He said, soon the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, and again in Revelation 20, verse 10, that Satan will ultimately be cast into hell, where he will be punished forever in the eternal fire, which has been prepared for him and his angels. And I want you to take note of this, little side note. It says that he will be cast into the lake of fire prepared for him and his angels. Who was hell prepared for? Who was hell prepared for? Satan and his angels. Unfortunately, if you follow him, you become one of their hordes, if you will. That's why we need to follow Jesus Christ, because you see, hellfire was never prepared for you. It is a consequence of your rejecting God. It's a consequence of rejecting Jesus Christ. So folks, we need to understand that we have the victory over even the hellfires because of our belief in Jesus Christ. We are overcomers of Satan. You do not have to succumb. And until his final defeat, believers can triumph over Satan, first by being wary of his schemes, amen? This is another sermon, I won't go into this. Secondly, by refusing to give him an opportunity to take advantage of you, stay out of the places you don't need to be in other words. And third, put on the full armor of God. Well, there's another sermon, maybe we'll go there next week. But believers are overcomers of Satan. And the next thing, believers are overcomers of death. Believers overcome death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the resurrection. That once we have died in this body, as the scripture says, we sleep. When this body ends, there is going to be a resurrection, even of the body. And he speaks about it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54. Shall put on the imperishable. And when this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, nikeo, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see this? Paul has zero fear of death. No fear of death. He even taunts death. You know what he does? He likens death to a little bee that has lost its stinger. Do you know what a little bee that has lost his stinger is? It's a gnat. And a gnat can be bothersome, but it can't hurt you, right? Hello? That's what Paul is saying. How in the world can he taunt death like that? Because in his Savior, he has nikeo. Hooper nikeo. Super victory. He has victory over Satan. And he has victory, right here it says so, over death. Folks, death is nothing but a helpless bully to Jesus. Have you ever been picked on? Ever been picked on? Listen, I remember that I got picked on. And then one time my dad just happened to walk down to school when he was home during the day, which he wasn't very much. He was a coach himself. And he walked back home with me. I'm going to tell you, I strutted all the way home because the guy that usually picked on me didn't even come close. Do you know why? Because Father was present. Well, listen to me. Christian, the Father is present. I mean, how in the world can Satan even begin to think that he can have any kind of victory over you with the Almighty at your side? The bully can't do anything that the Father doesn't allow. So Paul taunts death. God grants believers victory over death. How? Through Jesus Christ, who, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. He took it on himself. The only way to do that was for him to be sinless. And he took it on himself and became the curse for us. He has defeated death for us. And finally, as John notes three times in verses 4 and 5, believers are overcomers of the world. We're overcomers of Satan, we're overcomers of death, and we are overcomers of the world. Now, when John says the world, what he means is the invisible spiritual system of evil, which is ruled by Satan and is hostile to God. That's the world he's talking about. He's not talking about the creation of God that was made beautiful, the Garden of Eden. He's talking about the spiritual realm of darkness. And dear friends, we know this, that the citizens of the world are dominated by the heart of Satan. Amen? Listen, that's what happens. You don't have to say, I'm on Satan's side. All you have to be is not on God's side, and you are already on Satan's side. And you are dominated by the heart of Satan and by the heart of evil. Carnal ambition, pride, greed, selfishness, pleasure seeking, all those things that are constituted by what 1 John 2:16 calls the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Those things are what reside in the heart of the citizens of the world. But through a relationship with Jesus Christ, with a relationship with our Lord, believers are no longer part of the world system. We are redeemed from it to life in Christ. Somebody say amen. Are you redeemed? If you are redeemed, then you are redeemed into a new life. We are no longer a part of the world, even as our Lord Jesus was not a part of the world. He said that in John 17. He said it again and twice in that chapter. Colossians chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 13 tells that it says that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We were taken from the darkness and brought into the light. As Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 11, Christians still have to live in the world, amen, but we are not to be what? Of the world. In other words, we still have to live in the world, but we are no longer to have a relationship with the world. Does that mean we can't live in this world? We're not talking about the orb. We're talking about the system of evil that is run by Satan and his minions. We are not to have any part of that anymore. No relationship to it. That's why we are told that we are aliens and strangers to it. Does that make sense? So when somebody calls you an alien and somebody calls you a stranger, don't be offended. Just apply it spiritually and it'll be making more sense to you. Let me ask you, how in the world is it possible to be an alien and to be a stranger in the very place that we were born? Because it's not God's creation, again. But instead, he is talking about the spiritual system ruled by Satan. So we become an alien to evil because our new nature in Christ is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit that draws us to God, hello? Draws us to God and pushes us away from the world. If you don't have that pulling to God, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you need to check to see who you belong to. Because God, when you belong to Him, He pulls you in and He will push you from the world. That's what His Holy Spirit does. As strangers, as aliens, we're not to be enamored of the world, the evil system. As a matter of fact, we are to struggle and to fight against it. It's hard sometimes, amen? Why is it so hard for us? Why do we embrace a system that hates us? Why do we embrace a system that so opposes us? Our flesh pulls to it for some reason. That's why we have to battle the flesh. That's why we have to be born again. And the new spirit within us pulls us away from the world and to Christ Jesus. Paul's experience is a pretty clear example of this. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, For my faith I was beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have spent adrift in the sea. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentile, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Sounds like fun. This was Paul's experience. But all of this hostility did not defeat him. Amen? Why not? Because the world didn't have a hold on him. He wasn't living for the world. And so he was not disillusioned because the world hated him. Because the world treated him badly. Paul knew that his ultimate triumph over the world was certain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and following, he wrote, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us a weight of glory far beyond comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Or let's just put it in a little simpler term. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. Folks, that is the testimony of Paul. And it's our testimony if you belong to Jesus Christ. Believers in Christ are invincible overcomers. Believers in Christ are hupernikeo, super victors. Not in ourselves, amen? Not in our ability, but and not in, certainly not in our power, but in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in His power. That's how we are overcomers. And then comes doses of reality. Because although our victory in Christ is assured, it is promised, it is given that we are super victors, that we shall overcome, we still lose some battles sometimes, don't we? We still lose battles. We succumb to Satan's temptations, to the world's allure. We succumb to the corruption of our own hearts, and we fall into sin, and we don't live victoriously. And yet, with all of our failures, and yet with our sin, and yet with the defeats that we allow to happen when the champion of the world has already won, and though we fail to claim his victories, we still know that we are overcomers in Christ because we have faith in the truth. Because we have a love for God, because we love the brethren. We're not just like family. We are family because we have a love for God and the brethren, and because we have an obedience to the Word. In this we know these things, that we belong to Christ, and in Him we are victors. Have you had a few down times recently? Too many? Let me tell you, we cannot take our eyes off of Christ. He is our victor. Will you claim him with me? Pray with me. Can I pray for you and pray with me? Father, our hearts need help. Anybody want to say amen and claim that for themselves? Our bodies need help. Our families need help. Our country needs help. But Father, you said that in Christ we are hupernakeo, super victories, more than overcomers. God, would you help us to see beyond ourselves? Would you help us to see beyond our circumstances? And God, would you help us to see Jesus in everything we are called to do? We need your help for that, Father. We can't do it alone. We realize that. We confess it, and we ask for your help. So, dear friends, there's your call. If you're struggling, you need to call for his help. You need to call for the strength of Christ. You need to call for his victory right now. Quit living in defeat.